Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth. Co-host tonight, Christopher John O'Shea. Chris, how are you doing?
You get the rotation there, Drew. Doing well, sir. How are you? Great to be with you.
I'm doing fantastic, and we are here tonight on another open show. We just like doing these open shows because people keep calling in asking questions.
Yeah.
And if we can answer their questions, we know that we definitely delivered something to somebody that would be beneficial. So, therefore, we keep doing open shows. If you keep calling in and asking questions, we're going to keep doing open shows and answer the questions you want to hear and the things that you feel will be the most beneficial to you. And usually when somebody calls in and asks a question, there's a whole handful of other people out there saying, hey, I've got that same thing happening in my life. And, you know, the answer to this question is going to be interesting to me. I'm going to listen up and hear what he has to say about this person's question. So if you're bold enough to call in and ask that question, feel free, because you're going to be helping a bunch of other people. There's no such thing as a bad question. Everyone thinks that, I don't really want to go on air and ask a question. But it's a good question. If it'll help you, that's great. And you're probably going to be helping a bunch of other people who aren't going to call. So 410-922-6680 is the way to do that. 410-922-6680. We're on an open show tonight. 410-922-6680. Chris, today the Federal Reserve came out and acted like they actually think they know something. I'm confident they know nothing, but they think they know something, and they're telling us all their great wisdom and so forth. What do you think?
I think you're right. I think, and I think the market thinks you're right also.
Now, you know, it's just amazing. These guys have been wrong throughout history so many times. They've been wrong. And this Federal Reserve has been wrong almost all the time. I don't think Powell and his crew have got it right once yet, have they? You know.
Well, there was a good argument to be made that they continue what Yellen started when they were raising rates, right? 17, 18, and then turn tail, and then they're trying to get their credibility back. Is essentially what they're trying to do. And in the meantime, they always do that when the pendulum swings, they then lay the groundwork for the next crisis, which is what happened. And with the regional banks, you can say internally they had some mistakes, and the oversight that the Fed is charged with didn't occur either. But the Fed raised interest rates when they said they weren't going to, and all of a sudden they raised them 5%. That's 500 basis points for the investment techies in a year, in less than a year. And when you do that, as many great observers like Rick Reeder of BlackRock and others have said, you're going to break something.
You're going to break something. Yeah, absolutely. And they say, well, this is the only tool we have. No, it's not the only tool you have. When they call you in front of Congress, you're supposed to be the economic advisors of our country. There's two sides to the inflation equation. There's demand and there's supply. The only thing the Federal Reserve can do is squash demand. But squashing demand also squashes supply. So it's illogical to just continue to try to squash demand like they're doing, because they'll also diminish supply. What they need to do is to temper demand and at the same time tell Congress the things they need to be doing to increase supply, because Congress is the one that affects supply more than anyone else in the country. They're the ones that control these rules and regulations about how you can build houses, when you can build houses, what you got to do to build a house, how you can make a mine, how you can't make a mine, how you can put in an oil well, how you can't put in in the oil well. You know, and the list goes on, and the things that workers have to pay to continue to work and so forth. And the list goes on.
Yeah, and you're limiting the amount of people who want to come in legally in the country, these higher knowledge jobs that we're in desperate need of to, you know, to handle supply. And you're, you know, and that's Washington, D.C. in general. They haven't fixed this issue for 35 years. They keep talking about it.
And immigration is something that we should go back to a policy of the 1920s, and we should try to get a good 100 million people into the country over the next 10 years or so. Whether people think that's wonderful or not, we could use it, because if we ever go to war against China and Russia, wouldn't it be better to have 400 or 500 million people living in our country than it is to have just 300 million people living in our country? That's only logical, not to mention all. And you pick the cream of the crop to do it. You don't just allow this garbage to continue on where people just flood across the border and you have no idea who's coming into the country. I mean, you know, this is just totally illogical. And anyway, I'm pontificated enough. We're on an open show, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in. Nobody's on the line, so if you want to get on the line, 410-922-6680. Be right back. Money, riches, and wealth. This is Drew Tignanelli, and I have a question for you. Is your financial advisor a doctor of personal financial advice? Do you get strategies to reduce taxation, Social Security, Medicare advice, sophisticated retirement planning, investment allocation strategies, estate planning, or help with any issue of money? It is time you do a financial physical with me and my team at the consulate and experience the difference. You hear the depth of knowledge we have about personal finance, so do a financial physical and you'll experience what we believe an advisor should do for you. They should be independent, experienced, credentialed, fee-only, comprehensive fiduciaries. They should be a doctor of personal finance and not salespeople selling you products. Set up an introductory meeting by calling 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE, or go online, financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com. It's time you experience the difference.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back. Money's Riches and Wealth. We're here on an open show. Chris, I think you said no callers still online, yes?
That's correct. I think everybody's out enjoying the weather, having a party. But I know there's people on the highway because I-83 coming south was a parking lot.
There you go. So there's people out there listening. 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680.
And I do want to add something to that when you finish giving out the phone number. Go ahead, give out the phone number again.
410-922-6680.
So when you were alluding to the chaos that has ensued because Washington, D.C. can't agree on a lot of things, and the human crisis, we don't have the answer to that, right? We've got these Central and South these Central American countries and South American countries that are have policies that are basically continue to impoverish their citizenry, right? And so these people are looking or just, you know, gasping at any opportunity to get out of there, right? And so you certainly can't blame them.
Yeah, but these are the same policies that Democrats want to impose on our country.
Well, don't confuse me with the facts.
I understand a lot of the things that Democrats talk about. It's their solutions that is the problem.
Well, everybody wants to do that, right? I mean, that's the thing is like you want to, and that's the, okay, is every need a public need? Every need is a need, but how do you meet the needs? And you can't have the discussions anymore about how you go about those, right?
But you see, the issue, and you got to keep in mind that I don't like Republicans. Republicans are the stupid party. I mean, that party is so dumb, they couldn't get their way out of a paper bag, you know what I mean? But if you have a two-party political system, and this is a very important concept to understand. If you have a two-party political system, the two parties are after dominance. They're sure. after dominance.
Right.
And they're going to try to get that dominance. And with that dominance, they're going to impose their will for the wish of their voter base.
Sure.
And that is a very important point that everybody needs to understand when they vote. That, you know, the two political party is after dominance. And the dominance will bring about policy that will only support their political base. And the problem is, with the base of the Democratic Party, it's destructive for our country. The base of the Republican Party is not necessarily incredibly beneficial, but it's not destructive. Destructive is when you try to figure out how to take from the people with a lot and give it to everyone else who doesn't have what they have, and you assume that that's going to be a good thing, and that's what South America has done. That's even, everybody looks at Europe and says, oh, isn't this wonderful, you know, what Europe has done and so forth. But the Europeans are struggling, and they understand the free market better than the Democrats in America do.
Sure.
They understand that they need the free market in a big way. And they've got to do the best they can. Anyway, you got a caller now, I hear.
We've got Dave, and we're going to go to Dave. And we still have open phone lines, so several are still open, 410-922-6680. Dave, welcome to the show. What's your question?
Hi, guys.
Hey, Dave.
It's about Social Security and spousal benefit.
Okay.
My wife passed, and I'm not sure if you're familiar with the details. The letter that came through talked about a lump sum. I thought it was a monthly distribution if I was entitled to it. And I just don't know how to deal with that.
All right, Dave. So first off, I was sort of insulted when you say if you understand this. But that's okay. I'm going to answer your question anyway.
And pass along our condolences for your wife's passing.
The lump sum is the $255 lump sum that they've given since 1932. In 1932, $255 was the maximum amount that it took to bury somebody. And that was the lump sum they established for a survivor in 1932. It has never changed since. So you're going to get that lump sum of $255. Now, was your Social Security higher than your spouse's Social Security?
Yes.
Okay, so you're not going to get anything else monthly. You're just going to continue to get your Social Security benefit, and her Social Security benefit will disappear.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
So that's how that thing operates. That's what they mean by the lump sum, and that's what will happen on the monthly issue.
Okay. All right.
All right. I'm sorry that I, you know, couldn't give you better news than that. And I, you know, really, well, as Chris said, our condolences to you for your loss.
Thank you very much. It just helps me to understand before I go into this meeting with them, because it takes forever to get through on a
sure.
time.
Yep.
Yeah, tell me about it. You can't imagine how many times I have to talk to the IRS or the Social Security Administration, and it is absolutely mind-boggling trying to get through to them and then having to deal with them and so forth.
Absolutely. I didn't mean to insult you. I just didn't.
I was just kidding you, Dave. That's my nature. But did I make that clear? The lump sum deals with that 255.
Absolutely. And your knowledge is so extensive, and I just got your book yesterday.
Oh, well, I appreciate that greatly, my friend. Hopefully one day we get to meet in person.
Will do. Thank you.
All right, buddy.
Thanks, Dave.
Take care.
All right, we've got another call here. We've got Gene in Columbia, and we have several open phone lines still. Let's go to Gene. Hi, Gene. Welcome to the show.
Well, Drew, since you're pontificating, solve the Social Security issue for us tonight.
Social Security?
Yeah.
I mean, Social Security is an easy solve. Social Security is an easy solve. They should not allow people to take any money out of the Social Security system until 67 years of age, and the full retirement age should be like 70, and you know, you can maximize your benefits to 73.
Right,
I mean, it's pretty straightforward.
You go from early retirement from 62 to 67.
Sure. And then you
everybody's normal retirement age would start at 70. Now, here's the catch. Everybody, or just people born after a certain date?
I would say people born after, you know, maybe 1965, maybe 1962, something like that. You know, people who are 60 or younger right this minute. And you know, and you could even do it that everyone starts immediately gradually going up. Because, you know, look, when Social Security was developed, Gene, people lived to be 67, 68 years of age. And their retirement date was 65. Now, people's retirement date is 67, and they're living a minimum of 85 to 90 years of age.
Well, you and I at least agree on that, not so much our politics. But how come we don't hear any of the politicians coming out and talking about it?
Because they would destroy their political base.
Yeah, the only one where, I mean, in the last couple years, you hear politicians talking about it, and the people on the Democratic side are talking about increasing benefits.
Sure.
So I hear Pence is talking about it, but his candidacy isn't really going to go anywhere. But he's talking about Social Security, right, and doing something about it. And then the bigger one is Medicare.
Yeah, Medicare is a lot more complicated.
Well, remember back when Bush was president?
Yeah.
The Republicans were pushing privatizing Social Security?
Yep.
And then what happened in 08 and 09?
Yeah, well, you know what they say.
People would have been, oh my God, they would have been stringing people up in Washington.
Sure, but you know what they say about when politicians want to privatize Social Security and start putting in money in the stock market? Ring a bell and start selling all your stocks when politicians are ready to do that, you know? I mean, that's the dumbest idea you could ever impose. But there's a lot of easy things they can do to fix the Social Security. And you know, the thing Chris and I were talking about just a little bit ago, immigration, if you brought 100 million immigrants into this country, all of a sudden you would start lifting up the base of workers that supports Social Security Administration by a huge amount. That's what you need. Immigration could be the greatest thing we can do and pick the cream of the crop of the world to come to our country. But politicians aren't going to do that. They only want people that are going to vote for them. Anyway, I'm all running out of time, Gene, because I'm on my final break here. We're an open show. We have nobody on the line. 410.
We have John. John just came on. John. So if you hang with us, John.
Yep. 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. We'd love to talk to you. And after this, we're going to go right to John. But right now, we have to take a break. And we'll be right back. Money, Riches, and Wealth.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're on an open show. I can't really tell how many callers are online. One, John, is online, and we're going to go to John, but we want to let our other listeners know that if you want to call and ask a question about Social Security like Dave did earlier, if you want to call in and ask a question about your 401k or estate planning or IRAs or taxes or college planning or retirement planning or your company benefit plans or whatever the case may be. If it deals with money, we're here to help and answer that and guide you and give you some wisdom and understanding about your personal finances. If you'd like to call in and ask that question, 410-922-6680. Lines are open, so you'll be first on if you call. 410-922-6680. Let's go to John, Chris.
John, welcome to the show. Thanks for waiting.
Oh, sure. Always enjoy your show. Learn something every time I listen.
Oh, great. Thanks.
Wanted to get your opinion on Invesco Bullet Shares. They're paying, a couple of them are paying like 8% if you hold them to maturity. So what do you think
about it? So when you're talking about the Invesco Bullet Shares, what you're referring to is like these finite bond funds that have 7-year bonds in them or 5-year bonds in them or something like that. And at the end of that period of time, they're going to mature, right?
Right.
Right. And the ones, when you're saying some of them are yielding 8%, I'm assuming they're the ones that are like the high yield bond funds.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's so corporate bonds, and I bought some that mature in 2024, 2025, and 2026, and they're all around 8%.
Yeah, are these ETFs?
I don't know if they're considered an ETF.
Go ahead, Chris. You have something you want to say.
Yeah, you buy them and sell them like you would a stock, so maybe.
Right.
Well, what I was going to say is also if you've got these bonds that have obviously 2022, they lost value. Yields up, prices down, right? So you look at a lot of the bond funds, the pricing of the bonds are oftentimes, 88 cents on the dollar. Right.
But these bond funds that he's referring to, they have a specific finite maturity. So they will mature and he will get his money back. There's not like a regular bond fund that he's referring to. And these could be the unit investment trusts. These could be unit investment trusts, correct?
Don't know the label on them, but it's a basket of corporate bonds. And depending on what year you select, those corporate bonds all mature at that specific year.
They're ETFs, right?
Are they ETFs or unit investment trusts? Are you looking it up?
Yeah, they're ETFs.
Okay.
So let's look at the investment grade Invesco 2026 BSCQ the ticker on it.
Right.
Okay. So I have no problem with them, but if you bought them a few years ago. You bought them when they were much lower. Yeah, they'll mature back to par, but you're going to end up with only like a 2% or 3% or 4% rate of return. But now, because they've declined in value, if you hold them, they're going to give you 8%.
Yeah. So this one, particularly, as I looked up, so it has a weighted average price of 94. Okay, and its yield to maturity is 5.25. So
right.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, it's really from here, you're going to get these things are going to mature, right? So the question is, you get, depending on what you're buying and the yield in there, the one thing about them is the fees are pretty low on them, right?
The fees will be low on them, right? So what you have to think about, John, is you have to think about what's my overall diversification in bonds and how much bonds do I want to own. Mm-hmm. And I have to make sure that the quality of the bonds that they have in there are pretty good. And if you're satisfied with the duration and the rate of return they're paying, I think the bullet funds make a lot of sense because they mature, not like other bond funds where when there's no maturity, the bonds in the portfolio, when they go down, there's no assurance they'll ever go back up again.
Yeah, so right. I looked at the high yield, BSJQ, right? So it's the SEC yield at this point is 8.1%, right?
You have to be a little more concerned about.
It's still in the 2026. The fee is 42 bips there. And the price of these... 94 cents also. So, but yeah, but again, these things are high yielding. So you're thinking about, potential default. That's something you got to consider.
And that's the risk you have to worry about.
Yeah, but it's a basket of companies. It's not just
sure.
One or two.
Yeah, but when you own a basket of companies,
168.
And you do have a recession, what's going to happen in that high yield portfolio, you're going to lose 2% of the basket. That brings your rate of return down to where the treasury is. That's why you get an 8% yield. You get an 8% yield because they expect 2% or so of defaults, and it brings it back down to the treasury yield.
Okay.
I mean, that's how the thing works, unless you do your homework excessively well and you pick only the ones that likely won't default, then you get the higher return. But what history has tended to prove is that not many managers are good at making those kind of predictions.
Okay. All right. Well, appreciate your input. Thank you very much.
Great. All right, sir. Good question. Excellent question.
Yeah,
you don't hear that very often, Invesco bullet shares, you know.
Yeah.
And there's a couple different tranches of those types of things. There was one we looked at it a few years ago. It wasn't Invesco. Who was that? I can't remember.
And you have munis also. Okay, we've got Gene and then Tom. So we've got a couple minutes here. See if we can squeeze them in. Let's go to Gene next. Gene from the Eastern Shore, welcome to the show.
Thank you for taking my call. My bank is getting ready to go public, and they're offering me shares at $10 a share. And I was just, I've seen it before where, you know, after they go public, the shares will go up sometimes $5, $10 a share. And I just didn't know.
Well, here's the answer to that, Gene. About 20, 30 years ago, it was a no-brainer. You know, your bank's going public. You buy shares. If your insurance company's going public, you buy shares, okay? It was almost a no-brainer. They were going to go up. Matter of fact, Chris Davis of the – what's Chris Davis's fund, Chris?
Davis Funds.
Davis Funds. Chris Davis. That's pretty logical.
That's not a joke.
Chris Davis of the Davis Funds made a fortune off of community banks going public and buying them before they or right when they went public at the offering price, and made a fortune. It was almost a no-brainer, and I could explain all the logic behind that. Today, it's not the same deal. There's no assurance that you're going to go up. It still typically will prove to be a relatively good investment, but not like it was back 20 or 30 years ago. So you really have to look at the bank a little more carefully before you decide that I'm going to buy shares in my bank that's going public. And you have to understand who they are, what they're doing, and do they really have people that know what they're doing? And if you do and you feel comfortable with them, you probably are going to be wise to buy them.
All
Did
right.
I sort of make that clear, Gene?
I think we lost Gene.
I think Gene said he doesn't know what he's talking about, so I'm getting out of here.
No. Don't.
No. I appreciate it.
Okay. All right, Gene.
You have a great day.
All right. Take care.
We've got really no time for Tom. If you can hang with us through the break, Tom, we have the rest. We have one caller online and several open phone lines, Drew.
410-922-6680. Be right back. Money, riches, and wealth. This is Drew Tignanelli, and I have a question for you. Is your financial advisor a doctor of personal financial advice? Do you get strategies to reduce taxation, Social Security, Medicare advice, sophisticated retirement planning, investment allocation strategies, estate planning, or help with any issue of money? It is time you do a financial physical with me and my team at the consulate and experience the difference. You hear the depth of knowledge we have about personal finance, so do a financial physical and you'll experience what we believe an advisor should do for you. They should be independent, experienced, credentialed, fee-only, comprehensive fiduciaries. They should be a doctor of personal finance and not salespeople selling you products. Set up an introductory meeting by calling 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE, or go online, financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com. It's time you experience the difference.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Money, Riches, and Wealth, and we have callers on the line. And Chris, you're going to go to those callers, right?
I am. We're going to have John and then Joe. Let's go to John. John, welcome to the show.
Yes, hello?
Yes.
Yeah,
hi, how are
John.
You?
Hi, how you doing? Yeah, I got a question about capital gain taxes. I currently live in a house that deeded in my parents' name, and the way it's structured is they passed away, it would be gifted to me. However, my father just passed away about 6 months ago, and my mother's still alive, but she's almost 90.
Okay.
Would it benefit for me to change the title, the deed into my name while she's still alive?
No, not at all. No, because if you change the title into your name when she passes away, and if you ever sell that house, you're going to pay capital gains. If you hold the house in her name and she passes away, then the value of the house at the time of her passing is the cost basis in your name. So if you sell it 6 months or so later, you'll have almost zero capital gain.
Okay, so that's the exclusion. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you. Now, that's simple.
Now, how much is the house worth, John?
About $400, and they bought it for about $100.
Okay, so your mother can sell that house at any time pretty much tax-free.
I live in it. That's my
house. Well, I understand. I'm just saying to you that if she ever needed to or wanted to, she could sell it tax-free. Now, the one thing you do have to worry about is if she ever went into a nursing home. Because she went into a nursing home and needed care, and you needed to go ask Medicaid to help you pay for it, they're going to force you to sell that house. So there's a reason why you might want to transfer the house to your name, and then you'd still have to wait 5 years before you would be able to go to Medicaid and ask them for assistance anyway.
Well, she has about $500,000 in stock and bonds. You think that's enough?
I'm you got to keep in mind that it depends on the nursing care. If the nursing care is about $120,000 a year, she'll eat that up in about 4 years.
Right. Mm.
So there's things to think about. You know, it's not a simple decision. Right. You gotta really weigh out all the ifs, ands, and buts about it. Okay.
I understand. Mm-hmm.
Good question, though. Excellent question.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Hey, great, John. Thanks for calling. Okay, we've got Joe next, Westminster. Joe, we're getting all over the region here. Joe, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Excellent show. I'm enjoying it very much.
Great. Thanks for calling.
Question for you. So I'm 62. My wife's 59. So I'm getting to the point where, okay, Social Security questions, and that's going to be a topic that she and I talk about. She has been a stay-at-home mom, worked several years, but not enough years to earn Social Security credit or whatever they call it on her own. I thought I read somewhere some time ago, does she get Social Security in any way from a spousal kind of a benefit?
Yeah, she's going to get half of your full retirement benefit. So your full retirement benefit is what you would get at age 67. She will get half of that if she goes in and claims half of your Social Security at her age 67, okay? So don't assume that it's just half of yours. There are certain parameters she has to meet. So let's say your benefit at 62 is $2,000 a month. If she goes in at 64, she's probably going to get about $1,700 a month, okay? Because there's a discount that'll take place because she took it 3 years early. If she goes in at 67, I said 1,700 a month. I meant 700 a month. If she goes in at 67, she'll get $1,000 a month because she's gotten half of your full retirement benefit. Now, if you wait and you maximize yours at 70, and your benefit goes from 2,000 to, say, 2,800. Let's just use those numbers. She doesn't get half of that 2,800. She still only gets half of your 2,000 because that's your age 67 benefit in my general illustration.
God, that's perfect. That makes perfect sense.
Now, I will say something. How many years do you think she is missing for Social Security?
She's 2 years short.
Now, hear this, okay? You want to hear something? All she has to do is earn about $5,000 a year, and it doesn't matter if she earns it all in 1 month or whatever. If she just earns $5,000 a year for 2 years or whatever, she would pick up the remaining 2 years of benefits.
Really?
Yes. A quarter, you hear this, you have to have 40 quarters. Well, 40 quarters is really just $5,000 in benefits, because a quarter is considered like $1,200 or $1,300 a quarter. So if she earns $5,000 in the month of July 2023, boom, she just got four quarters for 1 year.
Wow, I never thought of it that way. I always thought it's two full years of full time, which, you know, wasn't going
to happen. No. That's not the way it works. It's just a lump sum of money in the course of the year earned, and she picks up four quarters. Boom. So
start a business, pay self-employment taxes, and you're good.
Yeah, or send her over to 7-Eleven and tell her to take a job for a month, you know.
That's awesome, guys. Thank you so much.
All right, hey, thanks for calling. Great question.
I could see me saying to Bev, you need to pick up a couple extra quarters. You know, I don't have any hair now, but you can imagine I'd have a flat head and no hair.
Joe, he's having too much fun. We're going to move on.
Take care, guys.
Take care. All right, thanks. Okay, we have one more call. We have an open call or two, but for now, we've got Ken in Stephenville. Kevin, hi. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay. Hey, I'm curious about a Roth IRA. How long do I have to hold it before I can take it out without any tax penalty?
How old are you now?
65.
Have you ever had a Roth IRA in the past?
Yes.
When do you still have it?
I've had this one for 2 years.
For 2 years. So you've had a Roth in existence for 2 years.
Yes.
And nothing before 2 years ago, right?
I've got one coordinated through my company.
No, I'm not talking about, a Roth IRA. Don't forget the 401k ones. Just tell me Roth IRAs. Did you ever establish a Roth IRA other than 2 years ago?
No.
Okay. So you got three more years to go. And at the end of 3 years, everything in that account is 100% tax-free. But keep in mind that the contributions in that account are always 100% tax-free, no matter how old you are and no matter how many years you've had that Roth IRA in existence. So let's say I'm 25 years of age, and I put $2,000 in for 5 years, and now I turn 30. So I put $10,000 in, it grew to $15,000. A 30-year-old can take that $10,000 of contributions out without penalty and without taxes. So, you know, Ken can take his and whatever he put in 2 years ago, he could take that contribution at any time without penalty.
Okay.
Unless it was a conversion. You know, if it was a conversion, I don't think that matters, though. If it was a conversion, he's already over 59 and a half. So I don't think the five-year rule applies to him other than on the interest, dividends, and growth.
So I may, even though I still have to wait 5 years?
You have to wait three more years. You're 3 years away from your account being 100% tax-free.
Okay.
But your contributions are tax-free regardless.
And I could take that at any time.
You should be able to take that at any time.
Okay.
All right.
And could I roll that, if I wanted to roll that into another plan, could I combine that with another plan if I wanted to?
But you should never, ever, ever take money out of a Roth IRA, period, unless it's going to another Roth IRA.
Right.
So, yeah, you could take it out of the Roth you're in and move it to another Roth to do something else with it, but don't take it out of the Roth altogether.
Gotcha.
All right?
Gotcha. Okay.
All right. There's no investment that you can't do in a Roth IRA. Anything you could do somewhere else, you can do it in that Roth IRA. So
you just need to find the right custodian. Right?
You just have to find the right custodian. All right, Ken, great question. Excellent question. We're out of time, Chris. I just want to tell all of our listeners that the Financial Physical book is available on Amazon. We priced it to sell, $6, and it'll give you over 30 financial advice pointers that you should all know about. I hope you get it. It's on Amazon. It's $6, priced to sell. and it's called The Financial Physical by Andrew Tignanelli. Anyway, Chris, I think we're out of time.
That's what the music says.
That's where we're out of time then. Anyway, this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless. I know things are gonna be just fine if you only will. What I'd like to do to you, shower the people you love with love. Show them the way you feel. Things are gonna